Blog Talk Radio.
Chain. I'm your host, Yvonne Mason. I think that's my name tonight. Last night was a total fiasco. I don't know what happened, but the guests that I had will be coming back, and they will be, hopefully, they will be bringing the Kitchen Killers with them again, because it would have been a marvelous show if Blog Talk Radio had been cooperating. But that being said, tonight we have feedback from somewhere, I'm not sure where. I don't know if it's from the guest that I have. Hold on just a minute, let me see. Ah. Okay, I'm back. Sometimes we get feedback from our guests because they're not in a closed environment. And any time you're on this show, if you don't get into a quiet environment, I get everything and it's magnified 100 times and everybody else can hear it too. But anyway, hopefully tonight will be a better night. My guest did not show up. It was supposed to have been her second time on the show, and she did not contact me or show up. So I have two people that this is their first time on the show. They will be on individually by one in March and one in a couple of, next week, as a matter of fact. But anyway, I ran numbers this morning, and just on the show itself, we have reached 82,655 listeners just on this show. When you add all of the podcasts to the show, including SoundCloud, Spreaker, Mixcloud, Podcast Garden, Podcast.com, what did I leave off? iTunes, TuneIn, Radio, FM.com, YouTube, and several other podcasts out there, reached 103,384 listeners. Show's not been 2 years old yet, and we have reached well over 103,000 listeners. I am so, so proud of this. I'm proud of my guests. I'm proud of you, my listeners. And in spite of the fact that because this is live radio and sometimes things get crazy, y'all have seen whatever is going on now, I can't hear. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's from one of my guests or if it's from the show itself. If you want to come on the show, contact me at offthechainradio@yahoo.com. If you can't for whatever reason, but you still want to get out there, go to advertisecast.com and pull up Off the Chain. My prices are very, very reasonable. They are not over the top. I will advertise your show for a month, no matter how many shows that I have. If I have five shows in a week, I will do it all five shows. If I have three shows in a week, I'll do all three shows. However many shows I have in that week, I will advertise it. However many shows I have in that month, I will advertise it. In fact, we do have an advertisement. A young lady named C. Chamberlain, she has a podcast. It's called Inside Your Life with CC. And it's a podcast full of thought-provoking interviews, motivational, inspirational, to inspire others and to lift up their soul. And it's with feel-good stories. There's no negative on this podcast at all. It's conversations to strengthen mind, body, and soul. Inspiration and motivation are far in between for many. However, in the Inside Your Life with CC podcast, the glimmer of hope in a world full of confusion, discouraging times, or just plain old tough days. CC's interviews will entertain you, up to you, and bring the absolute best that is in the world out of the world. So, ladies and gentlemen, especially this time of year when not everybody has a Merry Holiday or a Happy Holiday or a Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah or whatever you celebrate, not everybody is into the spirit of happiness and goodwill toward men. There are mental issues, there's things that happened in their life, there's grief, there's illness, there's divorce, separation. So go and look up Inside Your Life with CC. She's on iTunes, she's also on Google Play. Listen to her podcast, and if you know someone that's struggling, give them the best gift that there is to give them. Give them the link to this podcast, because she will absolutely lift them up. On January 5th, ladies and gentlemen, at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, please either TO it, record it, whatever you do, but go to Investigation Discovery, because there is a series called Married Secrets. It is the beginning of their second season, and I will be on the first show of that second season. I will be narrating the story of the serial killer in Florida named Gerard Schaefer. He was Florida's first serial killer, and he killed between 1966 and 1972. And he was married, and he did have secrets. His boss with the Martin County Sheriff's Department didn't know what he did. His wife didn't know what he was doing. He was a very, very evil man. And if you haven't yet read the book Silent Scream, it is the girl's story. There's nine victims in that book. This is the nine that we know about, and he destroyed those families. So go and get the book, and you'll know the rest of the story on January the 5th at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time again, Discovery Channel. Now, with that being said, like I said, the guest that I had tonight decided for whatever reason she didn't want to come play with us, her loss. So I put out a call. I said, we're going to do an open mic night. And I told anybody that wanted to call in to call in. I would put them on the show. The first guest to call in was Robert Thompson. He is an author. He's released his first book. He will be on the show on March the 29th for his own special debut. And my other guest that called in is James Carlson. James has sent me author after author after author. I mean, this man is a madman when it comes time to send guests. And many of these people have already appeared, and there's more that will be appearing. I don't know. I don't know if he pulls them out of thin air. I don't know if he creates them in his scientist's room. I don't know where he gets them, but he keeps sending me people. He will be on the show on his slot on December the 30th at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. But tonight, both of these guys have offered to come and play with me. So, Robert, welcome. James, welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming and playing and getting your feet wet, so to speak, on this show tonight. Like I said, this show's not scripted. I have no idea where this thing's going to go. I never do. It just goes. It takes on its own life form. So let's start out with this conversation.
Okay.
I call it the silt season because this is not my favorite time of year. I start in November, the first day in November, I start seeing that abyss that I'm going to fall into. And I get closer and closer and closer, and many times I've almost stepped over into it. And the day after Christmas, it goes away. And I know that this is a time of the year that more suicides, more murders, more abuse is committed than any other time of year. What is your feeling on that?
I think people should be happy and not be sad.
That's not always possible, though.
I know, but I just feel like people should be happy. People should be uplifted and happy with something in their lives.
Agreed. James, what's your take on it?
I think that everybody that, well, first of all, thank you for having me on the show tonight. I think that a lot of people, with the struggles that they have around them and the people that they have around them, the environment that they live in, you know, it does define them and it does determine whether or not they're going to have a good Christmas or a good Valentine's or a good New Year or whatever. I lost a cousin, her name was Kathy, and she'd lived out in Indiana, and the winter would really just get to her, depressed her, and then I got a phone call that she killed herself. So it does happen.
Since you brought up the winter, let's talk about that. Robert, would it be safe to say that winter time affects people in a way that the spring and summer doesn't?
It's interesting.
And
yes, it would.
The reason I ask that question is because you think about it. People need light in their life. Light is what gives us life. The days are shorter. And like James said, his cousin in Indiana, the winters are brutal. You're more or less confined indoors. And it stays dark longer. So if you already have those mental illnesses, and ladies and gentlemen, there is, trust me, there's nothing wrong with being mentally ill. It is what it is. There's reasons for it. What we would like to do is get to the crux of the matter and maybe help save someone who might be thinking along that line right now, because there's always tomorrow if we give it 24 hours. Robert, back to my question. Because of all of those dynamics, would it be safe to say that that could be a factor?
Yes, it could. The winter, yeah, and the weather and all that and the atmosphere.
Well, I wouldn't say so much. I wouldn't say so much that the weather is the only factor. I mean, if you lived in California, and I'm sure that if there's listeners out here in California, you pick any one of us and put them in front of the beach, that is one of the most relaxing, self-gratifying, life-changing events you could ever have, because something about the beach just recharges you. And you're revived again. And so the beach has this moment. And it doesn't really mean that anything is a factor. Basically, anything that you love, anything that you can actually be a part of. You know, I know that I'm revived when I'm sitting in front of my piano, you know. And it could be summer, it could be winter, it could be raining. It could be raining bullfrog for all I care. As long as I'm in front of my piano, I'm revived. So I think we all have something that we love that will, you know, basically recharge our batteries and remind us that, hey, life is worth living. I've got my kids. I've got my wife. You know, I have a reason to live. Some people just don't think that they have a reason to live, and the environment that they're in brings them down even more.
And James, I agree wholeheartedly with that. And for whatever reason, so many tragedies in our life, maybe they've lost a job, maybe they've lost friendships, maybe they moved to a new place and don't know anyone, and they're too afraid to go out and create new friendships. And the sad part is that when we are out in the public, we don't know what someone else is, what another person's journey is. We just assume that we do, which, of course, makes asses out of all of us. And when we do not put ourselves out there to be kind to someone, our actions might be the very thing would just send them right on over the edge. And we don't even know it because it just us. But we always have to remember that someone else may be suffering. Robert, would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, that would. With me, I think it varies on the person. Sometimes I think your topic varies on the person of how they are in everything.
Oh, that's true, because some people are happiest when they're unhappy. It doesn't matter what you say or do. They revel in being unhappy. One of my ex-husbands was that way. He was the happiest when he was unhappy. And some people are happiest when there's nothing but constant drama
yeah.
in their life and confusion. Me, on the other hand, I don't deal with drama. I hate drama. But I think my point is this, especially this time of year, in that when we're running around and we're buying Christmas, spending money we don't have to give gifts to people that really don't appreciate them. And that, ladies and gentlemen, this is a generality, so don't go get your knickers in a twist. It's a thought process. We forget that the most important thing that we need to be doing is spending time and showing kindness, and Robert, as you say, being happy with each other. James, would that be fair?
That would be fair.
Oh, yeah.
We've forgotten how to go ahead.
There's something that kind of strikes out at me. I being able to, you know, be with a lot of people, deal with a lot of people, talk with a lot of people. I talk with more people than I deserve to talk to. And, you know, so I get a chance to meet people. I get a chance to meet models, and I get a chance to meet other producers. I get a chance to meet other people that publish and authors and porn stars. It doesn't matter. I don't judge. I get to meet these people. And when I heard about an adult entertainer. We'll leave it at that. Her name is August Ames. She had committed suicide, I think this year, December 5th, if I'm correct. And she had killed herself. She killed herself due to body shaming. And body shaming had been on the list all the way since, you know, people started photoshopping models' bodies and trying to make them better. Society said their bodies have to be a certain way. And then people start talking about people's bodies and how fat they are. Singer Kelly Clarkson went through it. And then the list goes on. So, yes, you are right. You know, we have to make sure that we have to praise the people and not belittle them, because you never know where they're coming from.
And, James, I'm glad you brought that up. Ladies and gentlemen, this man gets in my head. We've never met in person, but he can get in my head faster than just about anybody else I know of. The reason that I played that song, Just the Way You Are, goes back to what you just said. When my granddaughter, before she died, was still alive, she was body shamed. She was bullied in school because she had asthma, which created eczema, psoriasis, and dermatitis. And if you've ever seen anybody with those three skin conditions, there were times where she looked like an alligator. And not only were the kids bullies to her, but the adults were bullies to her. She did not deserve that. And this happened in school. We had to pull her out of school because of the way she was treated in school. And I have to give a shout out to country western star Brantley Gilbert, because Brantley lives in the town where my children live. And they were in Walmart one day, my daughter and my little granddaughter. And he was behind them in the checkout line. And she saw him, and she told her mom that Brantley was behind them, and they got through and paid for everything. And the supervisor, who Brandy knows really well, came up and asked Brandy if she wanted Rhonda to have her picture made. And Brandy says, well, if he's got time, fine. If not, we'll catch him another time. When Brantley got his stuff paid for, he told Rhonda to come and get her picture made with him. Well, she stood about 3 feet away from him because she was ashamed. She was having a very bad day. He told her to get close to him, and he wrapped her up in his arms. And from that day, that child died at 13 years old. She never felt ashamed again. And the last video I have of her is her singing that song. And she says, I'm okay just the way I am. So, James, thank you for bringing that up, because you're right. We Photoshop models. We think we have to weigh a certain weight. We have to look a certain way. And this isn't regulated to just females. This is not regulated to just adults. This is male, female, man, woman, child. It doesn't matter. We have become a society of, if you don't look a certain way, you're not okay. And I would venture to say, shame on anyone that says that. Robert, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I think, in my opinion, I think people shouldn't body shame anybody, because I have my flaws and stuff, and people love me for who I am, but people shouldn't really body shame a person because they're different. I think that's terrible.
It is, because we all, it doesn't matter what we look like, what flaws we have, what uniquenesses that we are born with. We all have a place in this world, and we all have a purpose. James, would you agree with that?
I agree with that. And I tell my kids that beauty is skin deep. It doesn't matter what anybody looks like on the outside. It's what they are on the inside, and the things they do that will lift your life, the things they do that will bless your life and add to your life, those are the things you need to love. And for me to hear my kids say, oh, I don't like that person because they don't look good, or they're too fat, or whatever, that is not allowed. And you know, and I tell them, you have to love them the way God loves you, because you are somebody. You are somebody. And you're beautiful.
Because God don't make no junk.
No, he doesn't.
And the thing is, when someone does that, what they're actually doing is they're looking in a mirror and they are making fun of themselves, because of when someone criticizes or puts down someone else for the flaws they see in that person, they're really showing their own insecurities.
That's right.
So when we sing that song or we listen to that song by Bruno Mars, it has a deeper meaning to me. It means it doesn't matter what you look like, what color your skin is, what your sexual preference is, what you wear, how you wear it, if you have uniqueness or not. And when I say that, ladies and gentlemen, I can say it with pride because I have a brother that's very unique. He is mentally and physically challenged, and he taught me everything that – he taught me more than I could ever teach him. We all have a purpose, and we all are okay just the way we are. And guess, would it be proper, for lack of a better word, to say that when we learn to forgive ourselves and accept ourselves, that puts us on the path to accepting others. Robert, what's your take on that?
I agree. Everybody is unique. Like for example, I am unique because I'm a writer and no one else in my family doesn't do what I do, but I feel very unique about my talent as an author. Because no one else in my family isn't a writer.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I feel unique in my own skin.
And but you're comfortable in your skin, correct?
Yes, I am.
Flaws and all, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm opinionated, overbearing, domineering. I'm 4'11". I'm bossy, but I'm cute. And I'm okay with that.
Oh, wow.
I told you this thing goes off the chain.
Well, you know, Yvonne, there was a song back in the 80s by Billy Joel. And he said,
yes.
Don't go changing, you know. And he said, I love you just the way you are. And the thing of it is as a father, I have 9 children, and I also have 10 grandchildren, so I'm constantly switching hats between dad and grandpa, and then I've got my niece and nephews that come over, so there's the uncle thing. But one of the things that I always try to do, and I try to tell each of my kids, each of my grandkids, just one special thing that I love about them, and I encourage them to work on that. I encourage them to beautify that. You know, one of my boys, he loves to play on the piano. And even though it's like he's doing better than I am, I'm like, go get him, champ. You got it. You got it. Really good.
And that's what we need to do. Is life is not a competition. Life is life. We are not in it to be in a competition. Yeah, we do competitive sports, we do competitive contests, but that's not who we are. We are here for a purpose. And I would venture to say, guys, that 99% of the human race has no idea what their purpose is because they haven't bothered to sit down and think about it and figure it out and follow a defined path. They're all look like ducks on a lake. They look calm and serene, but if you look underneath, they're just paddling like hell.
And I agree with you there. I agree with you there because, you know, as a father and as a grandfather, we are the shining light in the kids' lives. And there's a quote that comes to mind by country singer Reba McEntire. And I have lived, I don't know if she wrote it, but I heard her say it. So to me, she's the author of the saying. And so I live very much to the saying she said. She said, watch what you say and do. These little eyes are watching you. So everything you do, everything you say, if you are body shaming, they're going to see it. If you're hating, they're going to see it. If you're loving, they're going to see that. They walk in our shoes. We are their hero. Whether they tell you to get out of their life, or you're ruining their life, or they don't want to be here anymore, or what, they still love you. And you have to believe that, because they do love you. And everything you do results in the aftermath of whatever they decide to do in their lives.
Robert, what's your take?
Yeah, just people, see, I don't care what people think about me, because I feel the way I do. I do have my times and I do have my emotions, but I mostly don't let it get to me and let stuff get to me like I used to, like people criticizing me and stuff. But overall, it's like you just ignore it and just be happy who you are.
And that is a very profound statement, Robert, because if we're not happy within ourselves and accept our flaws and our good points as well as our bad points, we can never be happy in a relationship with anybody because we're so miserable within ourselves. And what I've done a lot of public speaking, and when I speak in public, I tell folks, look, what you do is you look at your flaws, because we all have them. Look at your flaws and you turn around and you make those weaknesses your greatest strengths. Okay, so I'm opinionated, overbearing, and domineering. Well, I get things done, but I don't do it in a brash way. My mother used to tell me that I could sell Eskimo snowballs because of the way that I approach it. One can be overbearing, domineering, and persuasive at the same time if they do it in the right way. And when you're raised in the South like I was, everything is done, especially by strong women, because I was raised Old South, and all the women in my family are very strong women. They helped their mates to become successful, but they didn't do it in the foreground. They did it in the background because they wanted their husbands to shine. They were proud of their husband. They wanted them to shine. So in their strong way, they helped them succeed. And now I can do it on my own because I was taught that growing up, how to be strong, how to be kind, but how to get things done. So the things that I know about myself that I'm not proud of, I've turned them around, I hope, in the years that have come before me, and use them in such a way that now they're my strengths. They're what people admire about me. Robert, what's your take on that?
Yeah, it's kind of like me. Sometimes during the holidays, my mother passed a couple years back, and during the holidays, my mother always pops into my head. And then, to make me happy, I think about all the life lessons and what she taught me, and that my mother would want me to be happy and to do better with my life. So when I think about the life lessons that my mother taught me, how to be kind and be fair to people, it's kind of like a smile totally comes on my face. I usually get depressed really during the holidays more than ever, because I lost my best friend and my mother a few years back. But I don't let it. But I would never go hurt myself or anything. I would never go beyond that. But sometimes I think about the life lessons really that my mother taught me, and then I go really from there and strength.
James, what's your take on that?
I think that whether give and take, whether it's bad or good, I think God had dealt us those cards for us, and the thing that we've learned through life to be able to teach our kids. I will leave it at this. I came from a broken home, and Ben would exactly agree with how I was punished. I wouldn't exactly agree with the things that have happened. But I cherish it. And a lot of you are going to laugh. So there's a lot of people that have been abused. There's a lot of people that, you know, mentally abused, sexually abused, physically abused. And a lot of you are going to laugh when I say, cherish it. Cherish it. And I've learned to cherish the bad things that have happened in my life, because those are the things that show me. It's a template. It's a guide. It shows me what I need to do for my kids. And a lot of people say, well, he had a bad life, and this is why he is what he is. And I don't believe in it, because I've come from that, and I've learned this is not what I'm going to do to my kids. I'm going to break the chain right now. This is not what I liked when I was a child. Therefore, I'm not going to do that for my child. I know what it did to me. Why am I going to do that to my children? And I think a lot of people who have gone through that, they're babied with the excuse, well, I was abused too, so I've got no choice but to abuse my kids. And that is really wrong thinking. And I never believed in it, never agreed to it, you know, because I believe that even though I went through the bad times, even you, Vaughn, or even you, Robert, the bad things that have happened in our lives, we're able to look at our kids and go, you know what? I've been through, not happening. I've already been down that road, and I want the best for you.
Well, I had a history teacher who I absolutely adored, and he signed my yearbook in my senior year, and he wrote something very prolific in my yearbook. I've carried that with me the rest of time forward, and he says, make your past experiences a guidepost, not a hitching post. And what he was saying was, things happen in our lives. Bad things happen in our lives. They were defining moments. They don't define who we are unless we allow them to.
And
Robert, would
true.
That be
a lot of people?
Go ahead, James.
That's really true, because when bad things happen, they use those things. And I don't mean to upset anybody out there listening, but let's think about it. When something bad happened to you, a lot of us tend to have a pity for ourselves, and when we can't do something, we use that as an excuse. And I'm not judging, and I'm not saying, you know, that's true for everybody, but look, I mean, do some soul searching. Really think about, why do you do what you do? When something bad has happened to you, you'll use that as an excuse to say, well, I couldn't accomplish that because my mom and dad did this, or my uncle did this, or my grandparents did this. No, you have to change that around. You have to look at it differently. Yes, my mom and dad do that, you know, and my grandma and grandpa did do that, and my uncle did that, and my brother did it to me, and my sister pulled the head off my G.I. Joe when I was little, and that made me upset, you know. You use those, and you cherish those, because this is how you're going to raise your children. This is how you're going to raise your future generation. And I look at my kids, and I thank God, and my grandkids, I thank God every day that I had that moment to teach them one more lesson that's going to better them in their lives.
Robert, weigh in on that.
I agree with you, sir. I really agree with you on that. I think your life lessons, because I learned a lot of lessons from my mother, and the lessons has made me a better person. Instead of mourning her, I embrace her life lessons and what she taught me totally when I was growing up, because she kind of made me what I am.
And Robert, that is a very true statement. We learn from our parents, and like James said, our grandparents, and the people that we are surrounded with, and we don't stop learning. It doesn't matter if we're 5, 50, or 105.
Yeah.
We learn by those people. What we choose to do with those life's lessons. Like Robert, you said you embraced the life's lessons your mother taught you. James embraced the life's lessons he learned in a not a very good way. I am a survivor of domestic violence. I learned from those life lessons, not only did they make me a stronger woman than I already was, but they made me tougher in that I can hold my own in any given situation. I'm not afraid to go out there and hunt bad guys about. I'm not afraid to be in the car by myself at night. I'm not afraid to be in a place I'm not. And all the beatings that I got and all the threats of killing that I got, what more happened? And this is what I learned. At some point, we're all going to die anyway. So I'm not going to live my life in fear, and I'm not going to allow anyone that I surround myself with to live their life in fear, and I'm not going to be I'm not going to have lack of self-confidence. I'm not going to have lack of self-respect, and I'm not going to believe the lies that he told me, that I was nobody without him and nobody else would want me and that I was ugly. I don't believe those anymore because I know who I am. And every time I think about this and talk about this, people look at me crazy when I say, and I thank him for those life's lessons. Because, yeah, they were painful at the time, but guess what? The person you see now is not the person you saw then. And if you saw me then and saw me now, you go, who the hell are you? You're totally different because I'm not afraid of life. What do you guys think about that?
I definitely
go ahead, Robert.
I definitely agree with that. It varies on the situation sometimes, and Like I survived. I am a survivor 10 times more over in this world. I survived a crazy stepdad. I survived crazy stuff, and I am still here. I'm 50 years old, and I'm still alive in this world, and I have a lot to prove for it.
So what the old saying, James, that what does not kill us make us stronger. Robert, you and I are three examples of what happened to us did not kill us, but it only made us stronger and gave us a bigger purpose to be better than we were before, to teach our children and those that we love how to be better within themselves, with more positive, more self-caring, more self-confidence, more self-respect, more respect of others. So I'm grateful for those lessons. Correct, James?
I am correct. You know, Britney Spears, she was singing about being stronger. Christina Aguilera was singing about being a fighter. And I think that one of the things that I've learned throughout the years, even though I could sit here for days and wallow in my self-pity and be, you know, sorry for myself about my life, you know, back in the days. But I've learned a very good lesson, and it's called forgiveness. And forgiveness goes a long way. And I know some of you might be thinking, nope, not doing it, not happening. She messed me up. It's not, nope, forget it. I'm turning this off now. Okay, and I understand that. I get that. But let's think about it. I read an article a while back about a man that lost his family. And it's a powerful article, and it was a powerful thing for me to learn to forgive the people that have hurt me or oppressed me in the past. This article, this man lost his family to a drunk, and I believe it happened in Utah. He lost his entire family, lost his kids, lost his wife. He survived the crash, and so did the drunk driver. And this would make a great novel because I love this article so much. When I read that the man, a Christian, being someone that loved God, God was telling him to forgive. And he was like, no, I'm not doing it. You, my family, this was my life. I got this in a live for. Thank you very much. I'm done with you. But instead, he invited the man that, and he killed his family, over for dinner, and they talked about that night, and he forgave him. And that is a powerful message. That is a powerful thing that a lot of us don't, you know, that we haven't learned that lesson. And if we do, we will survive, will be greater, even more in our lives.
And James, to set a step further, not only do we have to forgive others, even when they don't ask for it, but we have to also forgive ourselves, because we can't forgive someone until we forgive ourselves. We have to forgive ourselves for making mistakes, making stupid decisions, hurting others. We have to be willing to say, okay, I did this, I forgive myself, and I move on. And then we forgive others. Now, if we don't, the only person we're hurting is ourselves, because they've gone on with their life.
Yep.
Robert, what's your take on that one?
I agree. I really agree with that statement right there. I do agree. Because I don't care what people think of me. I just think of what I am and what I need to do to survive and all that.
And in the forgiveness, there's also a freedom. It's like shedding a second skin, because you're not carrying all that hate and discontent around in your heart. And when we, it takes energy to hate somebody. It takes energy to be mad at somebody. It takes energy to hold a grudge against somebody, because you're always having to renew it. And when you can let it all go, it's so freeing, because it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
See, ladies and gentlemen, this is why we call it Off the Chain, because we have no idea where our conversations go. And maybe it's a good thing my guest did not go tonight. Maybe it was by providence that we talked about this tonight, because I think in our society today, and in the world that we live in, and in the, forgive me, ladies and gentlemen, in the political wrestling rink of stupidity, we have forgotten how to, A, forgive ourselves, B, forgive each other, C, learn to be tolerant, and B, to be, and D, to be open-minded for different views, opinions, and trains of thought, because we're so busy holding on to grudges, hate, discontent, that we miss so much in life. We miss meeting people and building relationships that help weave fabric of our life. Robert, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I really do.
James, what's your take?
Well, I think that, you know, forgiveness is a big issue with some people. You know, oh, well, they did me wrong, I can't, you know, forgive them for what they did. And gentlemen, you know, we are not the judge. We don't determine other people's fates. You have to be able to forgive others and have yourself come clean to the situation and go, you know what, I know you did me wrong. I know that you hurt me, but you know what, I forgive you for what you did. I believe one of my daughters, I can't remember which one, it might be my little one, I can't remember, but somebody did her wrong, called her name, and she was really hurt about it. Instead of going to that person and starting a big ruckus and drama about it and going home and complaining to me about how that person had really hurt her, she did not let it affect her, and she told this person, Jesus loved you, and I love you too. And I don't know what's going on with you, but I will always love you. And walked away.
People don't know how to react to that kind of attitude, because as a general rule, people are ready to be defensive. And when we take away their power, it's like stripping the naked, because they don't know what to do. They have nothing left to fight, take you away and lock you up. So that was the best thing she could have done, because it totally stripped that person of the fight. Not only was the battle won, but the war was stopped dead in its tracks.
And I think that if people took the attitude that Robert has, which I absolutely love Robert. You have a fantastic positive attitude about I don't care what other people think. And a lot of people will say, oh, I don't care what people think. You know, but this person did this and this person. Well, if you don't care, why are we still talking about it? Why are you still dwelling on the problem that doesn't affect you? So if you truly don't believe what other people say about you, be like Robert. Be like me. Be like Ivana. Move on. It's time to move on.
Yes, agree.
I have better things to do with my life. Lord, I don't have enough hours in the day to do what I got to get done now. But
yeah,
exactly.
I mean, when I got people like James, Ivana, I got another author for you. I mean, every 3 minutes I get a ping going, Ivana, I got another author for you. And then the author's going, Ivana, when can I come on the show? I mean, who has time to worry about what people think about me?
You don't even have time to have a cup of coffee, Ivana. What are you talking about?
That is the truth.
I'm like, she's going to have a bad day just because she hadn't had her coffee. You know, slow down, people.
Yeah, you saw that, right? You saw that post I put up. Hadn't even had coffee yet, and it's already started rolling downhill.
Yeah, and then just to get back at her, I was like, well, have fun. I'm going to take a nap.
I said, thanks, James. Appreciate that. So, guys, y'all are not going to believe this, but our hour is almost up.
Oh man, we were just getting started.
Wendy, that was fun.
But you both.
I can't wait
back
to do your. You know what? I can't wait to do your show in March now.
See, and now all the nervousness is over with. It's just the three of us having a nice conversation.
I'm a natural with the radio. I am a natural with the radio because this year alone I did 4 interviews already.
Well, see. And James,
I am a natural with the radio here.
James was worried about.
I'm getting better and better.
Yes, you are. James was worried about being on show. And see, this all just worked out beautifully.
I'm looking forward to talking about my writing career and everything.
Exactly. Do what, James?
I said it turned out beautifully. I mean, I was sitting here wondering, okay, next week we're going to be talking about thing that actually mattered to us, and I'm like, okay, this is going to turn out. And this actually turned out really well. I loved it. I enjoyed it. I've got to do this more often.
Well, see, this is why I do not do a scripted show. I never do a scripted show. I have notes because I do research on my guests, and I found out little, I call them Easter eggs. I found out things about them, and then I'll bring it up on the show. But I will never do a scripted show because Johnny Carson taught me years and years and years ago when I used to watch him. He would bring guests on his show, and a lot of them were unknowns. And he would bring them on, and because we are the brand, what we do is not the brand. Our books, our product is not the brand. We are the brand. And he would bring them on, and he would talk to them. And he would have note cards, and pretty soon the note cards would go over his shoulder because the conversation would just go totally off the rails. He would get around to their product. But by the time that segment of the show was over, I was wanting them to come back because I was wanting to know more about them. So this is why we do the show the way we do. Is because I want people to say, when are you going to have James Carlson back? When are you going to have Robert Thompson back? I want to know more about them. Because then they will automatically go and get the product.
Wow.
And of course the hour,
cool.
Yeah. And of course the hour flies by. So real quick, Robert, tell the folks where you can be found.
Okay, my website is www.RobertThompsonSite, RobertThompsonSite. No, not scratch that. WW. I don't have that. It's Robert Thompson's site. Robert, R-O-B-E-R-T-H, is T-H-O-M-P site, .wordpress.com.
And you're also on Facebook under Robert Thompson.
Yes.
And James, can you be found?
I can be found on Facebook. You can find me on facebook.com/CarlsonGraphicDesigns with an S at the end of it. And or you can drop me an email at CarlsonGraphicDesigns. And Carlson starts with a K, not a C. So it's CarlsonGraphicDesigns@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you.
And Robert is an author, ladies and gentlemen. And James does book covers and helps authors get published. So you got a twofer tonight. Tomorrow, and I want to thank you guys for stepping up to the plate. Don't hang up when the show goes dark because I got some things to tell you. But, ladies and gentlemen, these guys were fantastic. They had no idea. I said, we're having an open mic night. Call in if you want to. And they both did. And I appreciate them so, so much. Can't wait to have James back on December the 30th. We'll be talking about his business and what he does. On March the 29th of next year, Robert will be here and we'll be talking about his books and all things Robert. So put that on your calendars. Put on your calendars January the 5th at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, the ID channel, Investigation Discovery, because I'll be on there tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Aileen Hart, who is an author, will be with us. Now, all of y'all know at the end of my show, I do several things. I say several sayings, and they're very apropos tonight. Don't just feel special, ladies and gentlemen. Be special, because if you feel special, you will never be special. There is a difference. It's not just words I'm throwing out at you. The difference between who you are today and who you want to be tomorrow is what you do today. If you want to be somebody different tomorrow, then I suggest that you change what you do today, because if you don't, you'll just be the same. If you want to achieve greatness, please stop asking permission, because nobody's going to give it to you. If anything, they're going to want to keep you down in the bottom of that pit with them, because misery does love company. So if you want to achieve greatness, make a plan, do the plan, be the plan. Give yourself a 5-year plan and make it happen in 2.5. Your smile is your logo. Your personality is your business card. How you leave others feeling after having had an experience with you, ladies and gentlemen, trust me, that is your trademark. They will forget what you look like. They will forget what you're wearing. They will even forget your name. But they will never, ever, ever forget the way that you made them feel. If you made them feel bad, they'll remember it. If you made them feel good, they'll remember it even longer. And remember this, ladies and gentlemen, we're all on a journey, and every one of our journey is different. And we don't know what burden someone else is carrying, because we have never, ever walked in their shoes. So be kind to each other. Be kind to yourself. And don't be afraid to be kind to yourself, because if you're not kind to yourself, you cannot be kind to anyone else. Spoil yourself. Put on your best dress, put on your best shirt, put on your makeup, put on your jewelry, put on that perfume, put on that cologne. Be good to yourself. Get through this holiday season. We'll be back tomorrow night at 8 o'clock for the last show before Christmas Day, and then we'll be back here on the 26th to start a new week. I want to say thank you guys very, very much, James Carlson and Rob Thompson, for being my guests tonight. Please join us tomorrow night.
You're
welcome. Please. You're welcome. Please join us tomorrow night here at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time as we once again, I am your host, Eva Mason, and this is, ladies and gentlemen, always, every show, always, 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 we are totally off the chain because we have no idea what we're going to be saying or what the guest is going to be saying. So until tomorrow night, we say good night.
Good night, everybody.
Okay, we're off the air now. We are in the archive part of the show, which will come up in the show. But what I wanted to tell you guys is when we hang up, the show will go up into archives. When it goes up into archives, I'm going to post it on my page, and I'm going to tag y'all in it. I'm going to go in and make the changes I need to make and change the name of the show and everything. I'm going to tag y'all in the link. I want you to take that and I want you to put it out there because that's a prelim to your show. And then tomorrow I will put up the show on Spreaker, SoundCloud, Mixcloud, Podcast.com, and Podcast Guard. It automatically goes up on iTunes, YouTube, FM.com, 2 Minute Radio, and I believe it's now up on Art Radio.
Okay.
So when I put the links up, I'm going to tag y'all, and y'all can take those links and run with them. Use them. Promote yourselves. Say, you know, this is a prelim to I'm going to be on the show December 30th. You get to hear me first here, and then you get to hear me again. Robert and Case, you get to hear me first here, then you get to hear me on March 29th. So use this to promote yourselves for your upcoming shows.
Okay.
No problem.
It is my gift to y'all.
Thank you so much, Yvonne.
You are so welcome. And thank you guys so much. Y'all are marvelous. We appreciate you very, very much. And the subject matter was wonderful. Thank you.
It was.
And I feel
wonderful.
It was
a pleasure meeting you, Robert.
You too, buddy.
And y'all need to hook up if y'all haven't already hooked up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I'm surprised I haven't even come across him with the thousands of people I have on my Facebook. But I'll definitely be looking for you, Robert. I'll hook you up on my Facebook.
Thank you.
All right, guys, I'll talk to y'all later.
All right,
thank you so much.
You have a wonderful Christmas.
You too. Good night, guys.
You too. Have a great holiday.
You too, Robert.
You too.
Good night, guys.
Bye-bye.